Tonight, we are going to be looking at how the sweet blessing of God in creation, in His goodness, in His pouring out Himself to us, how the sweet blessing of God has been turned into a bitter curse. And how that bitter curse was taken upon Christ. Christ took that bitter curse upon Himself that we might experience the sweet blessing of God once again. And Scripture, all throughout, is the story of the goodness, the beauty, the glory, the sweet blessing. And then there's this difficult bitterness and curse that we experience even today. And how Christ took that bitterness, He took that curse, He took that wrath that Justin said, and gives us the sweet blessing once again. So this is our theme for the evening. And before we jump into that, let me just pray. God, we want to be transfixed upon the cross of Christ. God, as difficult as it is, as much as even Beck and I have wrestled this week just with the passion narrative, the difficulty of the week, of today. God, at 3 o'clock, approximately our time, in our sphere, that 3 o'clock you gave up your last breath. God, we don't want to move past that. So I just pray for eyes to see you as you were lifted up. God, that as we see the bitterness and the curse that you took that has fallen upon you, that we would be filled with life and blessing and the sweetness of your touch. God, might your Spirit work in our hearts and minds that we might cry out with all of heaven, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain." In Christ's name and for His sake, amen. In the beginning of Genesis, God creates all of the world. He forms and He fashions man. And it's almost this picture of gentleness and beauty that He takes the dust and He intricately weaves, molds, shapes. As Psalms would say, He knows the hairs on our head. He knows the detail of our life. And so He forms and shapes man. And then He gives breath to man, this almost act of intimacy. He fills His breath within man, and man is given life. And Genesis 3 talks about man walking with God in the coolness of day, that you can almost just imagine almost a late evening, the sun going down hand in hand with your spouse or your significant other or your dog, I don't know. But just imagining this stroll in the garden and just this, the enjoyment of presence. So many times in those walks, there's those good conversations, but there's also, you don't have to say anything. There's the sweetness, there's the tenderness, there's the joy of just being in God's presence. And that's the relationship that we once had with God in the garden, the sweet blessing of God's presence. God then forms man and then forms woman out of man. And He forms woman so that the blessing, the sweet blessing of intimacy and relationship could be experienced by them. They were naked and unashamed. They were totally exposed to one another and loved it. The vulnerability, the intimacy, the tenderness, the full disclosure, if you will. You want to talk about authenticity? That's pretty authentic. And there was this joy that and delight that consumed them. So the sweet blessing of God and in the relationship that we have with others, He formed and fashioned for us. God then says to man and woman, "Be fruitful and multiply." Man, the blessing and the sweetness of children, the blessing and the sweetness of raising ones who will go and fill the earth, and what God commands of having children, and that was part of the original command. God then says to man, have dominion, subdue, cultivate the earth. He gave man work as a blessing, as a sweetness and touch, that man would be able to be productive, that man wouldn't be just lazy or sitting or just observing, but he would be active and he would be a facilitator and he would be having that dominion and work. And that was a good thing. It was a blessing. It was a glory that man enjoyed. But those sweet blessings that God gave quickly turned into bitterness and cursing. And the reason they turned into bitterness and curse was because the serpent, the evil one, came into the garden. And his chief aim was to have man believe that God was not really for his good. God doesn't really love you. God doesn't really know what's best for you. God is withholding things from you. And that seed that he planted in woman and in man bred a rebellion, it bred a distrust, and it bred a distance from God that man no longer enjoyed. Man didn't want to enjoy. He wanted to be apart from God because he didn't think God was for his good. So the sweet blessing of walking with God in the coolness of the day and enjoying his presence turned into a bitter curse of hiding from him, of running from him, of God coming into the garden and man fleeing and running as far as he can say, and don't come any farther, don't come near me, I don't want to see you. So that our natural disposition now is running from God and hiding from him, not wanting him to see our sin, not wanting him to see who we really are. So interesting. I remember being in college and driving to Bible college and sitting in my car. And I mean, it had been a difficult season, a season with some sin. And I was actually talking to Becca and my wife, and it was really interesting. I was like, man, like, I know I need to pray right now, but I don't feel like it. Like, I have no way to approach God because I know my sin right now. And sin does that to us. It makes us run, and it makes us flee, and it makes us turn away from God. Even now, Romans 3 would say that none of us seek God. We have all turned aside. Even though he has formed and fashioned us, even though he sees everything we do, knows every thought we have, we still don't trust him and we still run from him. The bitterness of separation from God. The sweet blessing of relationship with another being, with man and woman, this vulnerability and openness turned into, don't look at me. I don't want you to see who I really am. They sewed fig leaves in the garden to try to cover themselves up, trying to be someone they're not, knowing their flaws, seeing the flaws of another, and the bitterness of being distant, the bitterness of not being open and vulnerable and transparent and honest, feeling ashamed. We don't want to be found out by anyone. We don't want them to see, sometimes for some of us, who we really are. The fear that if they really know who I am, they won't accept me. They won't love me. They won't value me. This is a bitterness that we experience even today. The sweet blessing of having children and multiplying in the earth has turned into sorrow and pain. For so many, even Eve, the childbirthing process became difficult and burdensome. Not only having a child, but raising a child then becomes very, very difficult as they rebel, as Eve experienced the difficulty of raising Cain and Abel. And Cain kills his brother, and the sorrow and the difficulty of a mother, I can only imagine. But for some, even today, the difficulty of infertility, the curse and bitterness of sin that we have difficulty fulfilling God's command. The sweet blessing of work, of being able to cultivate and produce and see the fruit of our labor, provide for our family, has turned into a bitter curse that man looks at the ground and he looks at his work and it becomes difficult, becomes crushing, it becomes toilsome. Where I spin my wheels and I work and I'm diligent, but the ground isn't producing anything. It's producing thorns and thistles. I'm working hard, I'm tilling the soil, but no rain is coming. The ground is unfertile, and I can't provide for my family. The curse that we experience because of sin. Solomon experienced this when he wrote Ecclesiastes, and he said, vanity of vanities, we work and we are even successful, but then what comes of it? We die and it goes to another. These sweet blessings that God had given to us, we replaced and they became bitter curses. Christ took those curses, the bitterness that we experience, so that we would live in the sweet blessing of God once again. Why would Jesus, before we jump into why Jesus would experience those blessings, we have to first understand that Jesus fully experienced the glory and the goodness, not only of creation, but of oneness with the Father. In John 17, Jesus says that, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had before the world existed. Before anything was ever created, Jesus was in absolute glory and beauty. In Colossians 1, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. All things were made subject to him for his benefit, for his glory, for his majesty, for his enjoyment. He's before all things. In him, all things hold together. He is preeminent. That means he is the supreme one over all things. So Jesus, in this position of ruler, of king, of great glory and enjoyment, Philippians 2 says that he didn't count those things to be grasped. He didn't count equality with God to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. He left the sweet blessing of heaven and he made himself nothing to take upon our bitter curse. Jesus experienced the bitter curse of separation from God, chiefly in his being upon the cross, where in the passage that was read, he cries out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? We who have run away from God, who don't want to see God's face in dread and in fear, Christ longs to see God's face, and the Father turns away. He forsakes his Son. That separation from God, Jesus fully experiences. He takes our sin upon him. Colossians 2, you who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Why? He's done this by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. God has taken all of your sin and my sin, all of the shame and guilt and fear and dread that we feel, and has physically nailed it upon the cross of Christ. Christ has experienced the bitterness of separation from God. Christ has experienced the bitterness of rejection by others. Rather than that full transparency, rather than that vulnerability, that safety, that love that is experienced when we're honest with one another, Christ takes on the bitterness of rejection, being fully exposed on the cross, physically, emotionally, being mocked, being derided, people wagging their heads, sign of disdain and disgust. The vulnerability, the hiding, those times when we want to go in and we want to clamor, Christ was open to shame and rejected by others. He has experienced the bitter curse. Christ took on the bitter curse of sorrow, of giving life, of multiplying. And in Matthew 23, he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, those who long for the city, those who love the city, you stone and you kill. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." I would have loved, Jesus says, to gather you under my wings and to protect you, to nourish you, to love you. But you have rather killed, mocked, and turned away, rejected even a mother and father. Christ took on the bitterness of toil-crushing work by being in the garden and sweating great drops of even blood, pouring himself out in the work of, "Father, if there's any way this can happen, take it. I can't do this." The toil and crushing work of labor and of provision, Christ has fully experienced, taking on our bitter curse. What kind of love is this, that the King of Heaven would send himself and his Son to bear our burdens? That the sweetness that Christ experiences as God would be traded into the bitter curse that we experience? Christ has done this so that we might once again experience the sweet blessing of life under the perfect rule and reign of God, that we who have experienced the bitter curse would know his sweet blessing once again. 2 Corinthians 5, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Not in the creation that is under the bitter curse, but a new creation under the sweet blessing of God. "The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin." Christ, who had no sin, who had no bitterness, no reason for that bitterness, he has taken it fully upon himself, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God, that we would be fully made right with him. That term is a thorn in so many people's mind, of the righteousness of God. Am I as righteous as God? And the answer is absolutely not. There's no way for that to happen. But Romans 1, and this says that in Christ we become the beauty and glory and honor of the Father in becoming the righteousness of God. Colossians 1, Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness. We live in this bitter curse of the dark domain of the world. He's delivered us and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The great exchange has happened. Christ has taken our bitter curse that we might experience the sweet blessing of his good dominion once again. The curse of separation from God now becomes the sweet blessing that we get to experience God's presence once again. The fact that the Holy Spirit, who is God, fully dwells in you as a believer. There's nowhere you can run and nowhere you can hide and nothing you can say or nothing you can do that would take God's seal of himself upon you. Do we believe that the Spirit dwells in us? Do we believe that the Spirit is God's presence, that we are his body? That we are one with him? Ephesians 3, we have confidence and boldness and access through our faith in Christ. We no longer have to hide in the weeds. We no longer have to hide our face. We have boldness towards him. Ephesians 3, may you have strength to comprehend. May you, may I have the strength to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. The bitter curse of separation from God is no longer for those who know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. This is not something we can even express, but something that is beyond understanding, that God's sweet blessing of his presence dwells with us. The bitter curse of rejection from others and that fear and lack of vulnerability with others has turned into true relationships within the body of Christ. Ephesians 2 talks about the dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles. These people who are totally opposed to one another. These people who totally misunderstand each other. These people who totally disagree with one another are in Christ. The dividing wall has broken down and they become one once again. The division that we feel with our spouse, the division we feel with our friend from childhood, the division that we feel from those that we cannot even understand their culture has been broken in the death of Christ, that we would be his family and his people together in him. The bitter curse of the and sorrow of children and of life, of that difficulty, that pain, Christ has transformed into the blessing of the life that we get to give to others. Some physically, and what we do with our children is we, as a blessing from the Lord, we entrust them to God. Fathers, discipline your children in the fear of the Lord. There is no guarantee that they will follow him. There is no guarantee that they will not hurt you. But in Christ and in the blessing of him, we know that as parents, we get to trust our kids to the good Father. Just as Timothy in the New Testament was entrusted by his grandmother and mother, he was acquainted with the sacred writings, making him wise for salvation. We get to impart life to our spiritual children. Paul, again to Timothy, that we get to give ourselves to others, that they would go about the earth and fill it and glorify the Lord in it. There's a woman in our home church in Houston that was never able to have children, but that curse that she experienced was turned to a great blessing. She had so many kids spiritually, kids that she brought into our home, kids that she loved on, was a beautiful, beautiful miracle. And it was a true blessing to see her progeny go out and bless the Lord. The bitter curse of unproductive work, the crushing sweat and toil of trying and trying to produce for the family, but never bearing fruit, Christ experienced. In the garden, we get to experience the sweet blessing of productivity and usefulness in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. The toil and the work that we do has victory in Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." The vainness that we feel in the unproductivity of work is demolished in the victory and glory of Christ, that our labor is not in vain. This is the hope that we have in the resurrection, that he who was afflicted, rejected, full of sorrow, crushed on our behalf, so that we would have the life and delight in God, the acceptance of the family of others, the joy of giving our life and the usefulness of our work, all because of him and in him and for him, as he gave the sweet gift to us. Christ offers us himself, becoming our substitute, taking our bitter curse, that we would experience the fullness of his life in the sweetness and blessing of God as it was originally meant to be. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Tonight, we look upon him who has taken our curse, so that we can experience the sweet blessing. Reading of Isaiah 53. "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, they made his grave with the wicked and the rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be counted righteous, that he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressor.